Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In June of 1991, Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall stepped down from the nation's highest court. The legendary lawyer and first black Supreme Court justice was 83 years old then, and at his retirement announcement, a reporter asked Marshall whether he thought Martin Luther King's famous line, "Free at last, thank God Almighty we are free at last rang true for him.
"Well, I'm not free. All I know is that years ago, when I was a youngster, a Pullman porter told me that he had been in every city in this country, he was sure, and he had never been in any city in the United States where he had to put his hand up in front of his face to find out he was a Negro. I agree with him."
That's Justice Thurgood Marshall in 1991. At the beginning of the one-man play Thurgood, on now at the New Repertory Theater in Watertown, this is the Thurgood Marshall we meet, the towering figure near the end of his life, after a quarter century on the Supreme Court and a quarter century as a history-making civil rights lawyer before that. Marshall in the play looks back on his own life in much the same way the real justice did in that clip you just heard, and by looking back, he's introducing himself to a whole new audience. Joining us today to talk more about it is actor Johnny Lee Davenport. He plays Thurgood Marshall in the new Reps production. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
It is fantastic to have you. Also with us on the line from Washington, D.C. is playwright George Stevens, Jr. Mr. Stevens, welcome to you.
And I thank you very much.
It's great to have you as well. Johnny Lee Davenport, let me start with you. It's a one-man play. You embody Thurgood Marshall in every way possible. What does it mean to you to do this play now?
Well, this is my first one-man show, and to, first of all, George, Mr. Stevens, thank you for this opportunity to say these words and to tell this story in the way that you've written it. It's fantastic. I really, really want to say thank you. And I have to say my wife is a big fan.
But to
tell this story, and to realize how relative it is right now is just mind-boggling. The connections that are made. For instance, our new president may have the opportunity to appoint 4 Supreme Court justices during his first 4 years. And in the play, you find out that Nixon did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just phenomenal.
Well, George Stevens, Jr., let me ask you, Thurgood premiered on Broadway back in 2008, and I believe its first performances given the year, happened even before Barack Obama began his first term. So what inspired you to write a one-man play about Thurgood Marshall?
I had, years before, directed and written a miniseries for television called Separate But Equal that was the story of Brown versus the Board of Education, and Sidney Poitier played Thurgood Marshall. And some years after that, I was having dinner with Sidney and his wife Joanna and my wife Liz in Los Angeles, and I asked Sidney what he was up to. And Sidney, in that rather stately way of his, said, "It has been 40 years since I did Raisin in the Sun. I want to go back to Broadway." And I don't know where it came from, but I said, "Well, why don't I write a play about Thurgood Marshall?" And I sentenced myself. And then about 8 months later, I gave it to him in Sydney. We had lived in the same building and had apartments in Los Angeles, and Sydney would come down and read it and said, "I'm moving into a house and I'm going to learn the play." And a little while later, he invited me up for lunch, and he said, "I am 75 years old. I cannot learn your play." So that provided an opportunity for many fine actors.
Yeah. Well, and one of them who's sitting across the table from me here now, today, so you mentioned Brown versus Board, of course, that is the 1954 ruling that desegregated American schools, the landmark case that most people may remember Justice Marshall for. But, he was obviously a very powerful legal figure for the NAACP even before that. Johnny Lee Davenport, tell me, how do you get into the mind, the rhythm of a man like Thurgood Marshall on stage?
The words are there. And all I have to do is honor depth of the language, honor the words. What I've learned is that Thurgood had such an immense wit and intellect and sense of humor. And so from this play that is full of facts and full of dates and full of, I'll call it, legalese, it's distilled down to a man who has gone through so many changes in his life, who has confronted so many obstacles to forward his passion.
Yeah.
It starts out where he's able to watch Negro prisoners being beaten in a Northwest Baltimore police station, and that has stayed with him. And he says at the end, that is why I've done everything in my power to protect the civil rights of every American citizen. Hmm. And this passion, he wouldn't let go of this burning fire. But I endeavor to bring the humanity of the man, and it's not hard because the words are there,
mm-hmm.
and it's inherent in the speech, and I honor language. I love language,
yeah.
And the words I get to say are just brilliant.
Well, George,
that sense of humor of Thurgood's is a blessing, isn't it, Mr. Davenport?
It certainly is.
Well, George Stevens, tell us more about that, because I think, you know, people obviously remember Marshall for his legal victories, but his life away from the court is also part of the play. How did you weave that in?
Well, there's a great deal of record around of his, you know, his what he's said over the years, and you know, weaving that together. You know, I think one reason for me wanting to do the play was I have great respect for Dr. King and all that he achieved and what he went through to achieve it, but I felt that Thurgood is under-recognized in that area, because without Thurgood Marshall, there is no Dr. King, because
right.
Thurgood Marshall was the architect, as he used to say, using the law like a weapon. Mm-hmm. And it was he created that foundation using the law to make possible the civil rights
mm-hmm.
movement.
Mm-hmm. Which is what's even more interesting to me, because in the play, there's a moment, at least a couple, but the one in particular I'm thinking of, where we actually see a slightly less assured side of Thurgood Marshall. Because from the history books, you think of him as a man who met only with success
right.
because of his towering achievements in the court. But there's a moment in the play where he talks about getting interrupted by judges.
He was interrupted 43 times while making a statement in the first Supreme Court hearing of the Brown case,
right.
and it rattled him. He says he gets unhinged by their questions. He says the most important goddamn case of the century, and what do? I get unhinged by their questions.
What do you think it does for the audience to see that less assured side?
I think it lets them know that he's not a man of stone. He's not this icon for civil rights. We called him Mr. Civil Rights, but he was just a man who had a passion and a need to
mm-hmm.
help people.
Well, I want to play one.
And the odds of him of his side winning the Brown case were formidable, mm-hmm. and he felt that he'd lost the key opportunity.
That's right.
But of course, he went on to win, right?
Yeah.
I want to play one more piece of tape from Justice Marshall himself, actually. This is from 1988, and he spoke to a group called the Judicial Council. They had given him a ward. And really, you hear his passion, which never waned, of continuing the efforts of the civil rights movement.
We claim that we have made great advances. A lot of people do. I mean, I'm in the group that doesn't believe that. And some of you might not want to hear what I have to say about the problems that still remain. Why, when you get in high office, you do that? Well, I'll tell you why. As long as I've got breath, I am going to say it. And I'm going to repeat it over and over again.
It's Justice Thurgood Marshall speaking in 1988. We've just got a couple minutes left here. Johnny Lee Davenport, This play is being performed at a very pivotal moment in the American story. And I'm wondering if you could talk to us about I feel a sense of optimism in the play near the end that may be particularly moving to audiences now.
Yeah, I'd like to do the final poem by Langston Hughes, some of that.
Yeah.
And it'll give you an indication of the hope that is built into the play. It is a play that has hope built into it.
Because Marshall and Langston Hughes knew each other.
They were school, yes. They went to Lincoln College together. Let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that is mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain must bring back our mighty dream again. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet, I swear this oath, America will be.
Well, that is Johnny Lee Davenport reading Langston Hughes, which closes the play, the one-man play, Thurgood, which is on stage now at the New Rep Theater in Watertown. Johnny Lee Davenport plays Thurgood Marshall. An honor and a pleasure to have you.
Thank you
so much for coming in today.
Thank you. How was that, George? Was that all right?
I think you're doing well, Johnny.
Well, George Stevens Jr., playwright of Thurgood, thank you as well. And that's it for today and this week. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.